When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app. We're on Podbean, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. We're also on Dash Radio on their Nothing But Net channel. That's every single weeknight at 7 p.m. Also, check out the Five Reasons YouTube channel, the Dono Daily, every single day at noon. That's on all South Florida sports. I'm on Starting 9 every Tuesday and Wednesday from 9 to 9:30. Also, all of our night program. New episode of Clutch Corner actually coming up tonight. So I don't know if you'll catch that live, but you can certainly catch it afterwards, and they'll be talking Heat and more. Also, check out fivereasonsports.com, all the latest no paywall coverage on all the South Florida teams. Why would you want to pay when you can read us for free and our stuff's more in depth anyway? So check out fivereasonsports.com, and there are three new Dolphin shirts that just went up on the site. So make sure that you check those out. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. We thank them for the renewal. It's because so many people are using our code. Go to manscaped.com. This is where you want to go to get properly groomed, guys. Go to manscaped.com. Use the code 5RSN. That's the code 5RSN. You'll get 20% off and free shipping. Again, 5RSN. This is where you go not only for their shavers, but also for their cologne, their refined cologne signature scent. The beautifully designed glass bottle makes a statement, and the manly scent is attractive to set the mood. These things that they get me to say. Also, check out the Perfect Package 3.0 and the Perfect Package 4.0. It's time to feel sexy, guys. Your balls and your body will thank you. I've only done this once at the top of an episode. Go to manscaped.com. Use the code 5RSN. We are going to be talking about cologne on this episode. That's why I decided to start with it. And now, tonight's episode. Down to Biscayne.
Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got it all banned. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, Ethan Skolnick back on Five on the Floor. This is going to be a quicker ep tonight. We've got some cool stuff coming up for you over the next few days. A couple of big-time guests. I'll tell you more about them probably on Twitter as we go forward. Alex Toledo is vacationing south of the border, so he's not with us tonight, but we've got Greg Sylvander. I don't know if I was supposed to say that. We got Greg Sylvander with me. You can follow me at Greg Sylvander. You can follow me at Five Reasons Sports and at Ethan J. Skolnick. And today we're just going to talk about Chris Bosh, who's about to go into the Hall of Fame. Probably should have happened a year ago, but of course that was the mega class. That was the class of Tim Duncan and of Kevin Garnett and of course of the late Kobe Bryant. And now looking back at it, I'm kind of happy that he didn't go in last year. I feel like not that that class was too crowded with the amount of people, but just with the level. There are levels to this. Chris Bosh is a Hall of Famer, but he's not necessarily a Tim Duncan, Kobe Bryant, or even Kevin Garnett Hall of Famer. And so even though I felt he was first ballot, again, there are levels even to that. So Chris, who's been working on his speech, and I'm sure it will be brilliant, he's actually working on a traditional typewriter, a man after my own heart, if you checked him out on Instagram. And he's been doing a bunch of interviews. He was on Five on the Floor a little ways back. But here's the thing about it. I am just, and as somebody who's covered a lot of athletes, obviously over 25, 26 years in South Florida, I'm just really happy for him. And not just because he's being recognized for what he did with his career, but because, as he even said in an Instagram post, his career didn't end the way most careers end. Typically, careers end because a guy just isn't good enough anymore. And sometimes it's not the best ending, like Paul Pierce playing for the Clippers, right? And you know, you didn't want that kind of end for Chris, but Chris looked like he was going to be able to extend his career at a high level because of the way that he played. And as he said on an Instagram post, it ended in a doctor's office, Greg. So, I mean, before we get into the memories that we're going to share here, the fact that he gets to be celebrated so soon, I think is nice. And I think it also reminds us of sacrifice. He's a player who sacrificed throughout the course of his career, in Miami especially. And then he had to sort of sacrifice his NBA career to accept the reality, which the Heat were, in my view, trying to do the right thing by him. And of course, he fought it. His family fought it for a while and then ultimately accepted it, was re-embraced. He embraced the organization, had his number retired. It's just, to me, as sad a story as it was, it ends in a nice place here.
It really does. And I'm glad you framed it up that way as we dive into this topic, because you're right. Like, it does make me happy to see CB getting his love right now. And it's a situation where I think of all the guys on that team, particularly when you talk about the big three and the way that they arrived in Miami, I think the fans had a really interesting go at it with CB, because like initially he was looked at as kind of the scapegoat of sorts so much. And he was like, you know, really picked apart initially and then kind of rebounded from all of that. So we really got to just see the evolution of him kind of coming into the limelight and getting in front of a national audience and being, you know, really with that magnifying glass, and just kind of watching him navigate in that space was really refreshing to me. And we're going to talk more about the things, you know, the highlights and all the things that we loved most about Chris Bosh. But to your point, I think that when you talk about sacrifice, what Chris Bosh did in the big three era exemplifies that era most to me, in terms of that guys actually put their egos aside to varying degrees, put their salaries aside to varying degrees, and came together for one goal. And that was why back then, I think Heat fans collectively, but me probably loudest, were so angry that the national perception was that they were stacking the deck and that it was unfair and that like everyone kind of hated them, because I felt like they actually were kind of showing a little bit of like that it was team first and it was winning was most important. And the things that we congratulate and really prop up athletes for, they were doing, but yet were villainized for it. So anyway, I just think Chris Bosh kind of really was the champion of champions when it comes to sacrifice, and that shouldn't be lost in all of this.
Yeah, no doubt. And again, you know, as we go back, and I'm going to get to some of the fan memories here after the break, but let me give you some of mine from sort of covering all that up close. I mean, I made a decision to go back and cover the Heat full time when I was at the opening celebration party for the big three with George Sedano. And at the time I was a columnist covering both teams, but a lot of Dolphins for the Sun Sentinel and Hurricanes and other sports. And I just turned to George during it. I said, I need to cover this every day. And then it just so turned out that the Palm Beach Post, where I'd worked before, had, you know, they wanted to sort of restart their Heat beat because they had killed it. And then I had conversations with them and went back to them. And from the very beginning of it, getting to know Chris, it was just an interesting process, because from the very start, he felt like the outsider. You know, it was very much Dwayne and LeBron at the beginning. If you recall, they did some pressers with the three of them together, but that didn't last very long. It ended up being just Dwayne and LeBron, and Chris would have his own, or Chris would just do it in front of his locker. I mean, there were some, like in Milwaukee, people who would ask ridiculous questions, and the three of them were standing up like they were like three of the four members of the Temptations, like behind like boom mics, okay, standing up, answering questions out to the locker room. There was a lot of ridiculous stuff that happened that year. But Chris was always kind of, to me, and this is no disrespect to Dwayne and LeBron, both of which, you know, I have relationships with and did when I covered them. Chris, you know, was the most interesting and yet the least questioned in terms of at these pressers. He was always the outsider. And so, you know, you kind of got to know him differently. I first got to know him. I requested some one-on-ones and finally got one at the Beverly, I believe it was the Beverly Wilshire in Los Angeles, and sat with him for 15 minutes in the lobby. And you know, you could just kind of tell from the very beginning, this is a different type of athlete, someone who's more thoughtful, has more outside interests. It's one of the reasons why I was a little bit surprised at the end of his career that he had such a hard time letting go. Because I thought of all the athletes, great, he was the one who could move on to a million other things, coding, music, travel, literature. I mean, the books he used to read before games, okay? I know we love LeBron. Unlike LeBron, he was reading all of them, okay? I mean, him and James Jones and Ray Allen is a very, very bright room, and they were reading these books, and they were trading these books with each other, finance books, history books, you know, novels, etc. Just a different kind of athlete to cover, and yet always a little bit on the outside. And I will always, you know, sort of remember the tweets I would get from certain Heat fans who would always be all over him and just couldn't really understand what he was sacrificing, what his role was, what he was contributing. You know, if he had three rebounds, it was he's not doing his job. But maybe on that game, he was blitzing a lot. OK, he was picking up these other things that Spoelstra wanted him to do. And, you know, Eric would talk about, you know, he's our most important player. And people are like, you have six on your team. Like, I mean, you have like a god on your team, like at the peak of his powers. And oh, by the way, Dwayne Wade. And you're saying Chris Bosh. But literally, they could have gone long periods of time without LeBron or Dwayne and still won a lot of games. I don't know that they could have without Chris and Greg. And I'll cycle back to something. The best example of that was what happened to them at the beginning in Indiana in 2012, when Chris went out and Dexter Pittman played, you know, three minutes and came off the floor. And again, the need for Chris and look, LeBron and Dwayne went nuclear those last three games of that series. But Chris was totally necessary. And I think it took him a while to accept the fact that not everybody understood why he was necessary. I'll always remember Toronto when, you know, he went back there and him egging on the crowd. It wasn't quite like LeBron in Cleveland, but him like raising his hands up, you know, more like a wrestler, and him and LeBron sitting there. And this was inside the media room. And the two of them are like, they were joking about Dwayne and like, yeah, everybody loves Dwayne. So nobody loves us. Okay.
That's fun.
But the other thing about it, and then we'll get into some of these memories. And I talked about this on the Dono show today, is that, you know, even Chris's relationship with LeBron, I think it's close now. There's a warmth now. But there wasn't always warmth. Chris, I think did feel a little bit like an outcast in that situation. And LeBron would kind of make these comments in pressers, et cetera, that indicated that he wanted more from Chris, that he expected more from Chris. That relationship got much warmer. LeBron used to ask me about Chris a lot when I was up in Cleveland that first year, you know, and I remember the day that the news came out. I was actually in Cleveland. And LeBron was very concerned. So I do think that there's a warmth there. We saw them hug recently. But at the time, he was more of the outcast, Chris. When LeBron left, I wrote a piece for the Miami Herald, which I talked to Bosh's wife, Adrian, and to Gabby Union about how close Dwayne and Chris got. Because when LeBron left, LeBron and Dwayne would go everywhere together on the road. And Gabrielle joked with me that when they would go out on the road, you know, they would just find a chain restaurant. I mean, that's LeBron. Okay. I mean, they would find a Cheesecake Factory. Right. Okay.
That's the popular one amongst NBA circles. Right.
I mean, something along Benihana, Cheesecake Factory, something like that. But then it was like, and Gabrielle was so proud of Chris for, she used the word with me, culturing Dwayne, that you know, they would go to these, you know, French restaurants or Italian restaurants, the best restaurant in the city, and sit in the back with a glass of wine, you know, with a bottle of wine all night. Okay. And that, you know, Chris introduced Dwayne to electronic music and they would go to, you know, EDM festivals. Okay. Like, wow, that's Chris. And that is, and there, and so I feel like the relationship, LeBron leaving, which was a negative for a lot of people, obviously. I think in some ways was a positive for Chris. And I think it would have been personally and professionally. And I think it would have been more so, obviously, if Chris didn't get sick. And then the final thing, and then we're going to turn it over and I'm going to want you to comment on these. I'll always remember it, Chris's honesty. You know, the two things I always remember about Chris. One, you went into the locker room, you ended up smelling like Chris because he'd spray cologne and you'd end up with cologne all over you. It wasn't Manscaped cologne, but I mean, because he would sit there and talk to the media for 20 minutes and then he'd waft it around. Okay, it's just Chris. But the other thing is I remember being in Brazil, in Rio, 2014, prior to the Heat playing the preseason game against LeBron and the Cavs. And I was at the Heat Hotel. The Cavs hotel was a couple miles, three or four miles down the beach. And I was at the Heat hotel, which was a great experience because we flew on the team plane. You know, me and Joe Goodman and Shandell, we flew on the team plane and, you know, we had, you know, drinks with Riley and Zoe in the lobby bar. Cause it's little place there. And so, and you ended up in the elevator with all the guys. Right. And so before I left for Brazil, I had sat down and asked Chris this very innocuous question where I said, what is Kevin Love getting himself into in Cleveland? And it was, I mean, I had longer sit downs with Chris than this. This was a 5-minute sit down at the end of a practice. And Chris gave this quote that it's like, you know, being at a buffet, you know, when you're a number one or number two option, and then all of a sudden you're sitting at a table and it's, you know, they'll bring you the bread that they want to bring you and the chicken that they want to bring you. And it was this, you know, elaborate analogy, but about the sacrifices you had to make and how hard it was going to be. Anyway, my editors at Bleacher Report held it for like 4 or 5 days. I don't know why. And they released it while we were in Brazil and it exploded because it came off like Chris was attacking LeBron, which he wasn't. Okay. But the reason I remember it is I woke up to this. And so basically I woke up to this and then who's the first person I get in the elevator with? CB. And you know, CB's 6'10" and I'm 5'8".
Flat twist.
And I just look up and I go, I'm sorry, man. And he goes, why are you sorry? I said it. And that's Chris. That is a accountability. Respect.
The most human dude, like to me as a fan, like just quickly, cause I know we're going to the next segment, but I experienced all this in a far different way than you. Cause I was just, you know, fan Twitter doing my thing that way. And
you know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And what was the biggest takeaway initially from CB and in retrospect is, like, to me, LeBron and Dwayne were larger than life. And there was a certain part of their athletic ego that you could not crack. And I feel like that Chris was just less identified with that athletic ego, and it allowed him to be honest in a cool way. And it was just like something that you hadn't seen from many. I mean, Zoe wasn't really like that. Timmy wasn't really like that. So like, as we went through, and me being like kind of a Heat historian, like it was refreshing and it was different to listen to a guy like after a game where Joakim Noah kind of shows him up, like show that kind of emotion, because guys don't normally do that. So that was just like overarching, like just the human element of Chris Bosh. I'll never forget that either.
Well, and you mentioned it too, because the only times he would get frustrated were when people made assumptions that were that he felt were incorrect. So the two players that there was a sense got under his skin the most during that era, Noah might be one of the three, actually. I didn't even think of Noah, but the other two were Garnett and Hibbert. There was a feeling that KG had Chris's number, but also that Roy was someone who gave, and whatever the jokes were about Roy later on, he was a problem for the Heat. Okay. And let's acknowledge it, verticality, whatever. He didn't like, I remember so many times when we would be in that little gym at the field house in Ben Banker's life in Indiana. And Chris did not like the questions about Hibbert because he just felt he was a better player than Hibbert. But he also understood that his role on the Heat was different than Hibbert's role on the Pacers. But it's just something very difficult to explain to people, right? So I feel like that got under his skin. The Garnett thing, the idea that he would be intimidated by Garnett, got under his skin. You also remember the 13-14 season, which was not a fun year. And I've made that point to our guy, Sean Rochester, when he had it as a top four season in Heat history. I'm like, no. I remember Chris and Dwayne didn't play in this game because there were a lot of games that season that Dwayne didn't play. But in New Orleans, I remember Chris was very vocal, outspoken, frustrated, and all that. The guy really, 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 really wanted to win. I think beyond that, and the fact to me, and we'll get into this now after the break right here, the fact that he's known best now for a rebound, which, you know, the pass out to Ray, which was the thing he was criticized for the most, you know, while he was in Miami, is something, again, it's just a good story. You don't get a lot of these in sports where you feel like, okay, for everything that went poorly, it worked out in the end. The funny thing is, it's happened twice with the Heat because in a sense, three times. It happened with Dwayne, the way it ended, and it happened with Zoe. I mean, look.
It did.
People forget. Zoe left, and he was pissed. I mean, Mickey Arison gave him a plane to come back from the Olympics, remember? And Zoe was still pissed at Mickey. I remember going to a Zoe Summer Groove event where Zoe kind of called him out. And seemed kind of ungrateful, the whole situation, the whole thing going to Jersey, Toronto, all that, and then comes back and accepts a backup role in a team he was the franchise icon for and wins a title. And in doing so, dominates in a game six in his minutes, like dominates your minutes, right? Like nobody has ever exemplified that better than game six. They do not win that game and probably don't win that series as great as Dwayne was. Without Zoe's contribution, like they've had some stories like that, and not a lot of organizations have won. So I just think it's a cool thing to recognize. We're gonna blitz through these here in a second. Before we do, I want to tell you about one of the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. We talk about them all the time. It's CPT. You got to go to CPT-Florida for all of your IT needs. That's right, CPT-Florida.com. I should say. This is where you got to go if you're a small or medium business. You own them. Maybe you know the boss. You want to win some points with the boss. Have them reach out to TJ. Reach out to TJ at 954-966-2766. 954-966-2766. You go to CPT-Florida.com. They've got a promotion, 25% off cloud phone service, including free phones and the first 2 months of service free. 25% off cloud phone service, including three phones and the first 2 months of service free. Deal with an owner, not a sales rep. Give TJ at CPT a call. Excuse me, again, 954-966-2766. Go to cpt-florida.com, cpt-florida.com, and mention Five Reasons. All right, ready, Greg? I'm going to just read you some of these, and we'll quickly go through them, okay? Because I have some memories on some of them. This one comes in. This is under a post that I put in, excuse me, in there today. About what are your memories? So here's one. Miami Heat against the Hawks in Atlanta. Wade and Bosh sit the game out. Bosh, Super Mario, and the Heatles deliver a win. I remember Chris Bosh commanding the troops in that game and getting us a win in triple overtime. Masterful stuff. I remember it too. I was courtside. it wasn't just Super Mario. It was also Terrell Harris, if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
Had 13 rebounds in that game. And I remember that number because I was like lauding Terrell for it after the game. And he looked at me like he was pissed because he's like, I'll do that all the time. And I don't think he ever had 13 rebounds the rest of his career. But anyway, that was one of the performances. And the other one that gets mentioned a lot, that two others in Portland, without LeBron, I should say, with Dwayne, Chris makes the last shot. LeBron in a suit jumps off the bench and jumps onto Chris, like real joy and emotion there at the end of a long, frustrating road trip for that team, from what I recall. This one from Young underscore Justo, 2011 Eastern Conference Finals game 3 versus the Bulls when he dropped 34. Chris played better against the Bulls a lot of times than Dwayne did, particularly in that building. People do remember a 1-for-18 game because you remember the regular season games with those teams too, not just the postseason games. But Chris was really good in a series that Dwayne was not until the very end when they went kind of crazy. This one comes from Timmy, T-I, this is a friend of the network, T-I-M-M-A-A-A-Y underscore, just his personality, the video bombs. And also when he was recruiting him, I remember he was a super techie guy. It's good to mention the video bombs today because this is the day that Jason Jackson, a good friend and a good friend of the network, just got promoted to a radio voice. And of course, Chris and Jay Jax were involved in a lot of those. People also posting various Bosch GIFs or GIFs, whatever you want to call them. This one, only way Tomo MD, another regular fan of the network here. OT against Atlanta, Portland, and Spurs. Everybody remembers those three.
Big Shot Bosch, right?
And that's a trifecta. Another one on the Blazers. This one, Mateo, who writes for our network, Bosch pulling up to ESPN to confront Skip Bayless. That was pretty good. Remember, that was September.
It was. He went and sat in that interview. I thought it took some guts considering the way Skip was. Another one in this thread as you're going through them at Heat side. He sent you a 2-minute and 20-second clip of a series of plays against the Bobcats, which is just funny to watch. Al Jefferson, he tortured us in the paint. But anyway, just watching it, Chris Bosh, he hits a couple threes and it's a cool moment, but it kind of spurred another thought for me. And I think we should just, I'll quickly touch on it as we're going through these, the way Chris Bosh evolved his game, like in the clip, it says Chris Bosh hits his 99th and 103 pointer of his career. And that perked my ears up. So I went and I looked in Basketball Reference and, in his first 10 seasons, he had 87 made 3-pointers. And then in his last 3 seasons, bear with me here as I get to my totals, he was doing more like, and I mean, they're not gigantic numbers here. Bear with me as I find it. Sorry, guys. I completely lost it. Anyway, the main point was, is that he started to take so many more threes and make so many more threes. He hit like 74 and 81. And so it just showed like the evolution of his game. So like when we saw him shooting those threes in those like isolated moments, and then to see him continue to evolve his game, it all the more just makes me think about the what ifs. We won't go down that road too much here, but like that's just a cool thing that you have a player that can literally on the spot, based on what the team needs, based on what the game is and how the game is played, can just evolve his game on the fly.
Well, and I'm going to acknowledge something here. I didn't like it at the time. Cooper Moorhead and I used to have many discussions about this because we would joke about it on Press Row. I'm like, why is he at the 3-point line? Because I think at that stage, you're still in the mode of not understanding where the game was going. I sort of got it. I got it, again, when Spo had no choice. I mean, that's the other thing. Eric's made a lot of, very resourceful decisions over the years and innovative decisions, but some were just necessity. Some where he had no choice. I mean, that situation in the 2012 playoffs, he had no choice. Okay. But to go small, I mean, what was he going to play? Right? He was going to play big minutes for Ronnie Turioff or Dexter Pittman or any of the, I mean, at a certain point, you go with what your roster tells you to play, right? And so Bosch gets hurt. Battier starts to succeed, playing up a little bit. And then he brings Bosch back in at the 5. And look, Chris probably shouldn't have played in that postseason. He was not right against Boston. We've seen that with other guys. I mean, Udonis Haslem playing in that 2011 series probably robbed him of three or four really solid years of his career. He came back, if you remember, against Boston too soon. He threw on the ball off the backboard. And then he came back for those great 10 minutes against Chicago, but he came back too soon. Chris probably came back too soon. I don't think that that team gets enough credit, not only for its intelligence, but its competitiveness. They played for each other. They didn't just play to prove the doubters wrong. They played for each other. They liked each other. That group was the most intelligent group I've ever covered. I mean, I'll never cover anything like it again. There will never be anything like it again. But Chris made it interesting. Chris, you know, I think we were frustrated at the end of Chris's time that we couldn't talk to Chris when everything was going on and he was at odds with the organization and they built like a barricade around him in the locker room in Toronto. Cause it was like this ghost of this person that we knew. I think over time we've come to understand what was going on there. And so we get it. And obviously Chris has always been gracious with his time, but I think we covered most of the tweets. A lot of them are video bombs, you know, various things like that. Just him, you know, the goofy faces being funny. But Greg, you needed that lighter element on that team. Like it was tense. I mean, Dwayne and LeBron were tense a lot.
I often tell friends of mine, you know, people that, you know, like there's a couple ways I'm going to go with this. So bear with me here. One, I think Chris Bosh allowed Heat fans to get a lot smarter. And I'll tell you why, because when Chris Bosh was struggling and you talked about not struggling, but maybe not doing what people thought he should be doing. And we started to dig into why, and you heard about box score watchers and learn the game and stuff like that. Like it made Heat fans get into the game in a different kind of way. They weren't just looking at points stat and other counting stats and stuff like that. And then the other thing is, like, you're right. Like, they needed an element of fun, somebody who didn't take themselves too seriously, who wasn't looked at as like the heir to the throne. And I think that all of that was huge for him. And huge for the team in general. And then the other thing that I think just can't get lost in this as we get close to closing is that a really big moment, because like when we talked about doing this tribute episode, I tried to think about like, what is the one moment that I remember from CB? And you know what? Like something that I just couldn't escape was when LeBron left and he chose to stay. Like there was something about that really resonated and made me feel like, okay, like, look, this is a guy who wants to be here. And that was something that just jumped to the front of my consciousness. So it's like, I had to spit it out as something that it was a real moment where I felt like it rebounded the organization in a way that, that it could have gone south bad that off season.
Well, and people will talk about the money, and obviously it was a lot of money, but I also knew what was going on in that process, and Houston was real. I mean, there was a real possibility of him going to Houston. Now there were some family things and other things going on behind the scenes that some of us chose not to report on, that played into the decision to stay, but he could have left. I mean, he could have gotten money somewhere else. And look, I mean, we talked about the sacrifice that Dwayne made, which is obvious, the money sacrifice, no question about it. But again, what does it say in a way? And I think we close here, the fact that Dwayne, who was put to the side that offseason, Riley has since, you know, admitted his mistake there. Okay. And then obviously Riley compounded, or the organization compounded, the mistakes in 2015 and 2016 with the way that they handled Dwayne. Okay. But what does it say that even after that, and it wasn't just because they had the same agent, may he rest in peace, Henry Thomas, that Dwayne and LeBron, Dwayne and Chris developed this incredibly tight brotherhood after they had been in that situation where Chris was essentially chosen over Dwayne to get the big money and to be the guy that they were going to go forward with? Like, don't get it twisted. The 14-15 season, they were playing through Chris Bosh. Okay. They were not playing through Dwayne Wade. They started playing through Dwayne in 15-16 again, and then really had no choice after Chris went out and then played a different way with Goran coming in, playing a bigger role. But they were playing through Chris Bosh. I mean, they were tying their future in a lot of ways to Chris Bosh. They never saw that future. And look where the organization is now, which I think, again, for the mistakes that they make, and we call them on it, does speak to the resilience of the organization. I think that that's a common characteristic for their best players. Chris Bosh, Alonzo Mourning, Dwayne Wade, I think we're seeing it with Jimmy. I think we'll see it with Bam as the years go on. I think there's a resilience and a toughness to their best players that not every organization has. And again, I think that's part of the reason they were so frustrated at LeBron, because he does have that resilience as a basketball player, but they viewed it that he cut and run when things didn't go quite his way in 14. And that's why there was sort of lingering resentment. We could do this all. Honestly, Greg, I would rather do 1,000 pods on this stuff than some of the stuff we do. So I'm going to stop here. Check out our sponsors, CPT-Florida. It's all in my head. There should have been a book. CPT-Florida.com, obviously, and then manscaped.com. For that one, go use code 5RSN. And of course, prizepicks.com. NFL season started Thursday night. Play it. Go up, down. My big bet tonight, Tom Brady over -0.5 yard rushing. That's right. They said -0.5 yard rushing. You know why they're betting on that? Because they're betting he doesn't run except for a kneel down. I think he'll get at least a quarterback sneak. That's the way you play Prize Picks. Have a good night.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Regional Sports Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.